All right, let's begin. Daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph, about 11 lines, and the lines get wide. The first word on the line is Shadre. For those of you that were not here, in the middle of the story of Kamta Bar Kamta, that Kamta was a friend of the man who made a Suda. Bar Kamta was his enemy. He sent a messenger to go get Kamta, and instead Bar Kamta came. The man threw him out. Bar Kamta was willing to pay for his own meal, for half the meal, for the entire meal, and the man who made the Suda threw him out anyways, and because of that, he wanted to get back at the Chachamim, at Klal Yisrael, because no one stopped this man from embarrassing him. They sent an animal to be makriv at the korban, and when they sent it, Bar Kamta and Machlokes, whether he made a cut in the lip, or he made a mum in the eye, either way there was a mum. Chachamim were not sure if they should be makriv the korban or not, they were not sure if they should kill Bar Kamta, they did nothing. The Kesar saw that Klal Yisrael, were not going to bring the carbon, and they were belittling the Malchus, and therefore now they were sending somebody, Vespasian, to go and to destroy Klal Yisrael because they did an avla to the Malchus. One of the reasons that it says is that why, we didn't discuss this last time, but why was it that in terms of them not accepting the carbon, why didn't Klal Yisrael, why didn't the Chachamim just send back and explain that the reason why you're not accepting your carbon is because it has a mum in the eye or it has a mum in the lip, not because we have something against you, not because we don't respect you or the kingdom, but rather because there is a mum in it and we can't. So the Mefarshim explained that would have been part of it, that the Goyim would have looked down at Klal Yisrael, because Klal Yisrael are greater than the other nations of the world, and Klal Yisrael, when they bring a carbon, it has to be complete pure. It can't even have a mum in the eye. It can't even have a mum in the lip. It can't have any mum. As opposed to the Goyim, if they bring a carbon, as long as it's not missing a whole limb, an aver, then they can bring their carbon. A Goyim also have the opportunity to bring carbon, but it's not the same level as when a Yid brings a carbon. And therefore, had the Chachamim, or Klal Yisrael, sent back to the Kesar, that you should know we won't accept your carbon, but we're not allowed to halachically, that would have angered them as well. And they would have said, oh, you see, the Jews think that they're greater than us. They have a greater connection to God, which we do. But that would have infuriated them as well, and it would have caused the same problem anyways. So now, this is after, again, we said that he sent the first person, came, the Kesar came, and he shot at...
Do you have to make your stylus?
For what?
You're saying it's not going to work, but it's just try.
No, they had cheshbonos. They thought about it. It wasn't that they didn't think about it. The best pshat, to my understanding, is that we said last time was that they had a question. What should we do? Should we mock this carbon? Should we not? Or should we kill Bar Kamta or not? And what did they do? So he said, we're not sure what to do. They suggested one thing, we don't know. It says it was a tain on him. We said at the end of the day, the Gemara said it was a tain on Rabbi Zechariah, that it was a chayah ben Abkulis, that he didn't say anything. For different various reasons that we discussed last time. But ultimately, one of the Mefarshim explained is that when they said, hold on, let's go ask Bezdin. He said, let me go ask Bezdin. Bar Kamta ran with the animal, took him back. You see, told you, they didn't want to be they didn't want to be mock of your carbon. You see that they're being married in your malchus. So, no, they definitely weren't doing they're making their heshtaglis. And again, the Chachamim, the Gemara says, that maybe he didn't do enough heshtaglis. And right. Bari says that because of his anivus, we explained different shatnam of his anivus, but he inherently did, you're asking a question, where was the heshtaglis? He did something wrong. Apparently, the Gemara is asking, he definitely did something wrong. Exactly on what level, what it was, what the anivus was, that we discussed last time. So the first person that came near in Kesar came, he shot arrows towards Yerushalayim, towards the other ways, he had a simon that Klal Yisrael would be destroyed, and the Beis HaMikdash would be destroyed, but he asked a child psychli psuche, and the child told him basically that God does want that there should be a churban beis hamikdash, but whoever is going to do it, it's going to end up Rabbi Shlomo is going to take care of him, and he became a ger. That was the end of the last shikul gemara. Shadri Eleul asked the sinus. They sent Vespasian Caesar. So they sent now a new person. The other person who they sent ran away, became a ger. So now they sent someone else. Asad Sarala Tlashoni. He made a siege around Yerushalayim for 3 years. Haribuhu Hani Plus Asiri. They were three rich people. Their names were Nakdin Ben Gurion, Uben Kalba Savua, Uben Titus Akesis. Now, where did they get their names from? Nagdimin Ben Gurion was called such because she naktal loychama ba'avure, because the naktal lashon of Nikita, making a hole piercing through the clouds so the sun would continue to shine. The Gemara in Tainis and Dafiutes, I believe it is, Dachav, tells us the mice over there that there was a loan taken out, and Nagdimin was supposed to pay back before it became night, and he was running out of time, and it would have been a big Chil Hashem, and the Rebbeinu Shlomo made it that the sun stayed out longer, and that's why he was called Nagdimin. Ben Kalva Sevur, Shekal Nichnas Lebeise Kishu Harav Kekalev, Yeitze Kishu Seveya. Anyone that used to come into his house, they'd be hungry as a dog, they would go out completely satisfied, satiated. Ben Tzitzis Arkeses, Shehoisa Tzitzose Nigreris Algabi Iksoses, because his tzitzis, when he had his tzitzis was dragging along on the floor, never went on the floor, but rather went on Kseses, cushions. He was a very, very wealthy person. Ekadami Shehoisa Iksose Muteles, being daily Rome, that his pillows were amongst the pillows of the Romans. That's how important he was. So we're talking about three very, very, very wealthy people. Now what did they do? Chad amaluhu ana zainalu b'chitei v'sari. I'm going to sustain Klai, so I'll give them sustenance with chitei and sari, with wheat and barley. Chad amaluhu b'dechamra b'demilchu mishchan. I'm going to supply Klai, so with wine, salt, and oil. Chad amaluhu b'dativi. I'm going to supply wood. V'shivchu rabbanu l'dativi. And the rabbanon mishabeach, the one who said that he's going to give wood, to the tzivi of Chista, because what did Chista do? Called Eklidei Havimasa L'shama. He gave over the keys to all of his storage houses, bar me the tzivi, except for the one of the wood. The Amar of Chista, because of Chista said, Akalba de Chiti boy Shitin Akalbi the tzivi. You need to have 60 storehouses of Chiti to the chiti boy shitin akalba de tzivi, to cook, to make one, to one, have one storehouse full of chitin, you need 60 full of wood, which means that the wood is a very valuable thing, and it was just being shabeah, that was the most valuable of all them. Havaluhu lemezan esim v'chad shasa. It was enough to sustain Klal Yisrael for 21 years. They were Baryeni. What are Baryeni? Let's look at Rashi. In the third white line, the Gemara on the right of that, you see the word Baryeni. Baryeni is a Rashi Anoshim Reikim Upeichim L'Mochama. They were empty people. They were like from the lashon of a boar, and they wanted to create. They wanted to go to Mochama. They said, "We're going to fight. We're not going to just sit here. Very nice that we have supplies for 21 years to sustain ourselves, but we're going to go fight." So what? So Amaluhu Rabbanan. Rabbanan told them, "Neipik v'naveit shlom badayu. Let's go and make peace." They told the Baryenim, "Let's go make peace." Loi shafkinu. They did not. They said, "Baryenim says no. Nope, we're not doing that." Amaluhu. So the Baryenim said to the Rabbanan, "Neipik v'naveit kibba badayu. Let's make a mochama. Let's go fight." Amaluhu Rabbanan. Loi mistayei milsa. It's not going to help. Fighting the mochama is not going to help. As we said last time, the Moriri Ben Yoyada, who explained that the Baryenim were tiny, that we're sitting and learning Torah, and Torah protects from everything, like, you know, the Tzedakah Kol Yaakov Yidayim De Esav, that Yitzchak promised Yaakov Avinu that as long as you're in Torah, Kol Kol Yaakov, then Yidayim De Esav, Esav will have no koyach over you. But the time that Ben Yoyada says is that the Rabbanan says is, but over here, the Klal Yisrael would not be able to defeat their enemies, but because they spoke Lashon Hara. When you use the coil, the lashon of your mouth, you're using it for terrorists. How wonderful! But if you're then going to take it and use it for something bad, then it taints the Torah, and it's not a pure Torah, and then HaKol Kol Yaakov, it's not going to help even against, you're not going to be Minatzeach. So Kamu, they got up. Kalnuhu Lahanu Amri Dechiti Vesari. So the Bayanim went, they got up, and they burned all of these storehouses of wheat and barley, and there was a famine. There was no food. They destroyed everything. The Rashi, let's look at the two Rashis below what we said before. Klinhu lahanach amburi. Lo'aitzis hatzvua ve'eitzim. They destroyed the storehouses of grain and wood. Kidei she'ilchamu, so they should go fight. Now, the Gemara does not say that they burnt the storehouses of wood. The Ben Yehuda asks, why does Rashi have to tell us that they burnt the storehouses of wood? If they don't have any wheat, they don't have any barley, they don't have any food. The point was that they should not have food. They would have no choice but to go to Muhammad. That was the Bayanim came up with this idea, we're going to destroy all their food, they'll have no choice but to go fight Muhammad. So why? Who cares about the wood? If you burn the wheat, you burn the barley, it doesn't say anything about the salt, the oil, and the wine, because you can't be sustained on that either. You need to build a chitim in Sa'ir. So why the wood? So the Ben Yehuda explains, he says that the Metzias is that if you're going to have wheat and barley burn, he says it takes a while till it all burns. So Klal Yisrael would have stopped the burning. They would have put out the fire. He says what the Bayanim did was they took this wood, this expensive wood, and they made a circle around all of the chitim and the sayim. They made a huge bonfire that you couldn't put out. In other words, to put out a fire of wheat and barley is much easier than to put out a fire of wood. So they made it basically a huge, big bonfire to protect the burning of the wheat and the barley, and that's how they were able to effectively destroy all of the wheat and the barley. And that's why Rashi tells us that they also burnt the wood, because that was the vehicle that they were able to accomplish actually burning the wheat and the barley. Very, very technical, but
it's amazing to know how many Bayanim were there.
It doesn't say they were obviously a very powerful group amongst Klal Yisrael. I don't know how many they were.
Yeah, this is obviously a big project. They all went out of the store, they had a lot of storehouses.
There were definitely a fair amount of them. The Bayanim were in control. Presumably it wasn't 10 people out of Klal Yisrael. I don't know how the Bayanim were a large faction. I don't know how many people. I didn't see anywhere it says how many people, but it obviously was a significant group, because the Klal Yisrael was scared of them. They were bullies. Chances are if they're 5 or 10 or 15 people, they'll be overpowered by the rest of Klal Yisrael. They were something to be reckoned with. They were power to be reckoned with, which means that they must have had a significant sizable amount of people. The Gemara continues. Marta Bas Baisis Asir Tidur Shalayim Havya. There was a lady whose name was Marta Bas Baisis. She was a very rich person in Yerushalayim. Shadart Elishluche, she sent out her messenger of Amale Zil Aisile Smida. Go bring me smida. What's smida? Rashi tells us, Silas, go bring me fine flour. At the Ozel, by the time he went, is Davin. It was all gone. It was all sold out. There was none left. Asa amala, smida leka, chivrat ikka. There is no more of, I'm sorry, I went out to buy you smida, but there is none left. But there is a chivra, so would you like me to go get that? Amrale zil isili. She says, okay, go bring me a chivrisa. At the ozel is daven. By the time he went, it was sold out. There's no more left. Also, amrale chivrisa leka. There's no more chivrisa. Gushkara eka. But there is gushra, which is like a coarse type of bread. Amrale zil isili. Go bring me that. At the ozel is daven. By the time he went, there was none left. There's none of that left anymore, but there's still barley flour left. She said, go bring it to me. By the time he went out, it happened. It was all sold out. She went out. This lady went out without shoes. This lady, Marta Bas Baisas. Epic v'afsi imesh kachna midi demecha. I'm going to go out myself and see if I can find food myself. Esav la parte bekaro mesa. She ended up her heel stepped on the dung of an animal and she died. Kari Allah Rabbi Chaim Mezakai said on this, on her Haraka Bach Vanuga Shalonash the Karfragla. She was a very delicate person that when she stepped on the sole of her foot touched the ground, she died. She was a very pampered lady. Now, a couple of interesting things over here. Number one, we just said in the Gemara before that there were three rich people. We had Nagdimin, we had Kabbalah Sevua, and we had
Titzis.
We had Ben Kessis. Now, so we had three people that were very rich and put up all this money. They were from the richest people, it says. She was the richest lady there. What happened to her? Why wasn't she putting up anything? Because the Gemara doesn't tell us. The Gemara tells us these three people put up, one put up chita and saira, one put up oil and wine and salt, and one put up the wood, which we said. So apparently she did not give anything, which was a tain on her, which some of the Mefarshim explain, which is why she ended up dying. It goes through this whole thing telling us is because she was stingy. Now let's take this a little bit further. So we have the Ein Yaakov says beer. Shelakein hidgisha gemara shemarta bas baisis hoisa asiris Yerushalayim. Fisha ba leima shafila shoisa asir mikol anshir Yerushalayim. Even though she was the richest of all anshir Yerushalayim, lehoisa balas stucka. She was not a balas stucka. She didn't get stucka. Kemoi shloishes hasirim hashirim hakeirim. She is not the lozen ani evian Yerushalayim. The other three, we know, they went and they said, okay, it's time to ship in for Klal Yisrael. We're gonna give what we can. The Gemara is going to say in a minute that she said, okay, but according to the second sheet, she didn't die right away, but before she died, she said, what do I need all this gold and silver for? It's worthless, and she threw it out in the streets because she wasn't going to live anyways. Ubein Elio says an interesting pshat. You know what? Let's do the Gemara first, and then we'll come back to this pshat. So that's one way. It's machlokes is how she died. Either the first one was that she stepped outside and she stepped on zevel of dung of a behemoth and she died. The second pshat is, let's go a little bit further here.
So why does she say that this guy, this zevel, keeps going back and says, "Oh, they don't have this, but they have that. Go get it." Why after the second, third time, why didn't you just bring back over that?
It's an excellent question. And the Mefarshim say that it was showing that this was destined from above, that there was going to be a Horban. No matter what you're going to try to do, people have this, you know, you want to buy your house or sell your house, you know, you sell your house, you want to sell it for $1 million, the market's at 950, I'm going to try to get a million. The market goes down to 9, now you're down to 950, and you just keep on missing it, and all of a sudden, the market keeps on going down, and you keep on trying, just missing it. She wanted the good food, she didn't want the cheaper one, you know, and that, every time that you sent her out again, that she was, you have to understand also, she was a very rich lady, she didn't eat, the only type of bread she really ate was the first type. Right. Was the fine flour bread. Now, she didn't eat any of this other stuff. The flour barley, that was for the peasants. She didn't eat that. She didn't eat the coarse bread. She didn't eat this stuff. So that's one of the explanations that he couldn't even fathom that she would eat that. When she said, there's nothing else, I'll go take that. And she kept on going down in Madrigas for her. So that's one of the reasons. There's actually another pshat that the, so that was, that's actually, you know, I can read it to you inside from the Maral. This is not a happenstance. This is all the gzera of the Baruchan. When he wanted to go buy smida, which we said was the fine flour, he couldn't find it. He wasn't ready to buy the next level. Wasn't ready. And the Rebbeinu Shel made it that by the time he'd be ready in her mind that now she can accept that lower level of bread, Rebbeinu Shel made it that wasn't available anymore. She thought she was so rich. Before this, she could have had anything in the world she wanted. She could have had anything. And she could, you know, all of a sudden, she wants fine flour, she can't get it. So she said, okay, I can't get fine flour. I have millions of dollars in the bank. But, okay, she had to get on the level to accept that I can't buy fine flour and I can only buy coarse flour. And I can only buy... And as she finally accepted, the Rebbe says, okay, I'm going to show you. You're now ready to accept. You know, sometimes people, by Kama Bal Gaiva, they're rich, they think they don't need God and they have everything, you know. So it was a level by level that she kept on seeing that it was the Bdei Shemayim, that doesn't matter how much money you have, the Rebbe Shalom runs the world. Whatever she wanted, pulled all of it, there was none left. Until she decided she wanted, there was tons of it around. The second she decided, I'm gonna take that, gone. He said, that's what we see. Hey, Vinu Shakalish Brochu see you. It's sure that the Baruch Shalom is here. You shouldn't think that there's no Baruch Shalom, no matter how much money you have. The Masha says that she mishmayim sivas hamaisa ba'arba mine lechem. What does that mean? Lefishiv is mancha hoyi beis hamikdash kayim hoyi makriv ma'arba mine lechem toide. There were four different types of bread that were brought for a carbon toide. U'mekivan shoyi kafui toive resorfu kol mizayin yaseihem, because they're bayoinim, they were kafui toive. The Baruch Shalom gave, and who gives them the right to go burn all these valuable things, the chitin, the sa'irim, the food?
Malkashmas,
that's what he's saying. They went, they're kafui toive. The Baruch Shalom gave it to these three rich people. These three rich people donated it to Klal Yisrael, ready to give it to Klal Yisrael, and the Bayanim went and says, we don't care, we're going to destroy it. It's unbelievable. It's a kafui toive, he says. He says, "Rukim shei kafui toiva v'sarfu kolmas in esayim when his bakla hakrovas carbon atoyde v'beis hamidosh, because they still had the beis hamidosh. Beis hamidosh wasn't even destroyed yet, but now they had no food anymore. They couldn't bring a carbon toiva anymore. He says, because his bakla carbon toiva v'beis hamidosh nemchu bar bor miyachak moving more. Each one was an einish. Again, this was only to her. For some reason, she was representing the bayanim over here, but it was to show that each one was an einish in and of itself. That each one, now you can't get this bread, now you can't get that bread, all four different breads. Going a little bit weiter here. Ikka da'amri, others say, Gregers drab tzadik achla v'is tnenisa umesa. She ate the gregers, or the dried figs, from a tzadik. She became nauseated by it, umesa, and she died. What are these gregers of Rav Tzadik? Rav Tzadik yasir arbon shnin v'taynisa. D'loy lechor v'shulayim. Rav Tzadik sat in taynis for 40 years, so there shouldn't be a churban beis hamikdash, churban Yerushalayim. He have a ochel midi, have a mischazi mevroi. When he would eat anything, he was so gaunt and so skinny because he fasted for 40 years. You can see the food going down. That's how skinny he was. And he says, Rashi says that he have a beryok, I'm sorry, have a mischazi begroinay. You can see in his throat, because he was so thin that when you could see in his throat, the food actually going down. And Chavi Beria, when he got strong enough, when he was going to go eat something, they brought him dried figs. He squeezed out the juice because he couldn't eat anything solid. Because he was so weak, he didn't have the koiches to eat something of solid. So he took these gregris and he squeezed it out and took the liquid from it. And these were what she v'shadilu. And this is what this Marta Basbai says. This is actually what she ended up eating. These gregris, the leftovers from Reb Tzadik. She took all her gold and silver and she pushed it out into the shuk. What do I need this for? She said, all of your silver is all going to be sent out into the streets. Money's not going to have any value.
Is this again that she's not getting charity?
It's
not true, but like last minute she could have given it to Zucker. She did it. She threw it on the street.
Well, the problem is, it's a little bit of a problem at this point to give Zucker.
Nothing to buy.
There's no food to buy. Klal Yisrael are in big trouble now. It was one of my famous questions of, you know, we're talking about getting, you know, money in the Klal Yisrael took the money in Mitzrayim. They took the Klei Chesed, Klei Zog, the Smolos. What are you going to do with it in the Midbar? The Midbar, the Klal Yisrael had everything. They had the Mon, they had the Mayim, they had the Klal. What do you need money for? I have a plan on that, not for now, but you have to...
No?
But what?
They're taking it there to Tzor.
What? Ultimately, the money, yeah, they took into Eretz Yisrael.
Oh, the Mishnah.
Huh?
She could have last minute said, okay, I'm giving it to Aniyam.
But Aniyam can't do anything with the money.
So what?
It's still it could be what you're saying is correct, that ultimately the Shivaita wasn't ready. It says is that the Gemara tells us that when a Rasha through and through, when he's sitting at the gates of Gehenim, he still can't do it. He's at the gates of Gehenim, it says. Not, he sees this big fire. I don't know if she saw this big fire or not, but he saw that big fire and they can't do tshuva, because if some person becomes so ingrained in a person of how he works and what he does, he can't even change. It's just not possible. It's not in him anymore. So it could be what you're saying is correct, or it could be that it was too late at that point. There was no food around. So you're going to give me $1,000 that I can't do anything with because I can't buy anything. You give me restricted stocks, and I can do. Does me no good right
then
now.
Then again, also now the money is meaningless.
The money is meaningless. It has no value. It would seem that's correct, that it has no value. The Einol Yor Kosav. So there's a pshat here. The Shetam Shemesa Meachilas Gregish of Tzadiku Yishum Shav Tzadik Yosher B'Tayin Shaltecha Yerushalayim. He sat for 40 years. I'm sorry, in Tainus, so Yerushalayim should not be destroyed. Yerubiechanan tells Vespasian that if there would have been one more tzaddik like a tzaddik, you would never have been able to conquer Yerushalayim. The reason why there was a Churban Beis HaMikdash was because there was Sinas Chinam. Because she was not a Goyim El Chesed, she did not give over anything, that's what caused the Churban. So he says very interesting. I don't know if you're familiar with this story, but we know with Eliyahu HaNavi that there was the Isha Shunamis over there, and he offered her that she can get something special for Gzara Din, she said, I want to be counted part of the people. She says, next to Eliyahu HaNavi, I'm going to look like a Rasha. There is a concept of comparison between if you judge together, when a person becomes melds himself as part of a tzibur, says he's part of a tzibur, the tzibur is one whole. And when it says, one of the reasons why it says that a tzibur is always miskabel. Why? Because it doesn't mean that I'm doubting my own tefillahs and you're davening your own tefillahs, but if we consider ourselves as one unit, goyim cannot be one unit. But if yidden, if they consider themselves as one unit, if you have kavanah in one of your brachas, and I have kavanah in one of my brachas, and you have a guy, together we can take that all together because we all have the same thoughts. We all want the same things. That's what our goal is. And it says, as the Magen Avraham says in the Sin above, that it's some siddurim say it as well. It says you should, before you daven, you should say that I'm mekabel the mitzvah haftal yach. What does that mean? Why that mitzvah? There's many mitzvahs you can mekabel on ourselves. Why before davening? So the pshat in the Magen Avraham is partial. When a person you want to have your tefillahs accepted by the Rebbeinu Shalom, means that you love your fellow man just like yourself. Means is that you're davening for the other person as well. You're not just davening for yourself. You're davening for the tzibur of Klal Yisrael. You're part of the tzibur. If you're part of the tzibur and the Rebbeinu Shalom sees that you love all the Klal Yisrael and you're part of one unit, then your tefillahs will be miskabel. And that's why the Magen Avraham says that you should really is something that you should focus on before you daven. So over here, because the Marta Basbaisis was actually in bigger trouble, because you had the three people before that we discussed who are Ashirim, who were willing to give over, and she wasn't, it makes it worse for her. And thus, my understanding is, what is the pshat? Why is it worse? Because she should learn from them. That is, if I don't have anything to learn from, so what do you want from me? Everyone's not giving. It's not an excuse if everyone does something wrong. It's not an excuse for doing it. But maybe I don't know any better. But when you see the people over here, these three Yashirim, who are willing to give up a lot of whatever, they're very wealthy people, it says, but this must have cost a lot of money to be able to sustain Klal Yisrael for 21 years, and you can't learn from that, so then ends up being a tainus directly on the person, and that's why she got punished. A few words on the parasha. It says in the pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, Gam bi yisanaf Hashem beglal chamlima gamat leisavishon. Moshe Rabbeinu has a taina. He says it's your fault for not going to Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu has taina and klal yisrael. So what does that mean? We know that Pashtus Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who hit the rock, and the Pashtus says he didn't go home because of that. So one pshat is there's a rush. The rush gives a marshal that there was a poor person who had a pail. And he went to the well, and he rolled down the pail into the well to bring up some water, and all of a sudden he hears snap, the pail is lost. It says only one pail, he looks down, he has no way of getting water, he's distraught. That's it. How's he going to get water for himself, for his family? All of a sudden he hears trumpets and the noise, and the king's entourage is traveling by. They come and they stop by the well for water. They take a nice gold bucket encrusted with the precious stones. They lower it on a new string down and you hear a snap. The poor man says, ah, now I know I'm going to get my bucket back. Because that gold one with all the stones, they're going down to get it. Now they'll get mine too once they're going down. And the Rush says that if the Kal Yisrael, if Moshe Rabbeinu would have gone into Eretz Yisrael, those in Kal Yisrael did the Chatorim, they never would have been able to come into Eretz Yisrael. It was only because of Moshe Rabbeinu that the Baruch Hashem says, I'm going to wait for you till all of Kal Yisrael is ready to go into Eretz Yisrael, that once the Baruch Hashem is bringing Moshe Rabbeinu into Eretz Yisrael, he's going to take the rest of Kal Yisrael with him into Eretz Yisrael. And that's why, that's the reason why Moshe is saying that it's your fault that you're not ready. If you would be, you're right, it's a technicality that Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock. What the reason, exactly how you understand it, hitting the rock, but that was the reason, that wasn't the sibah, but that was the simon. That was what, there needed to be an action that Moshe did that caused him. But what was the reason, the root of the reason of why he wasn't even allowed to go in? And that was because Klal Yisrael were not ready to go in. Maybe we can say a little bit of a different shot. The Reb Tzaddik, we just said, fasted for 40 years. Why did he fast for 40 years? 40 years, I think Pashtus, we all know 40 is the number that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to receive the Kabbalah of Teriyak Tesha. 40 days, 40 nights. That's what the number 40 represents, the number men. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Zohar tells us, was connected Shishim Ribui. He was connected. Moshe Rabbeinu was a shtick of all of Klal Yisrael. That's why the first one explained why Moshe Rabbeinu had to marry Tzipora, who was outside of Klal Yisrael. Because marrying someone in Klal Yisrael is like sort of Ke'en marrying himself. Moshe Rabbeinu encompassed all 600,000 in Klal Yisrael. There had to be an achdus in it. That was the 40 days. What we do is that we sometimes too connected to the Gashmias. We see the three rich Ashirim, they said, you know what? Now's the time, the Klal Yisrael needs the money. They separated themselves from the Gashmis. They said, we don't need it. It's not so important. The Peres HaMincha, the Talmud of the Rajba, Yaakov Skili, he says, the V'yesh Lishol Ma'inyan Isser Rechitza, the Sichon, the Sasan, the Tashm, Shamit, the Linyan, Korban Abayis. Why do we have? We have Tishabov. We have all these things. You're not allowed to wash. You're not allowed to wear shoes. You're not allowed to, what are all these things? He says is that because you need to make V'yesh HaMadesh, Amisa, he pured Chibur HaNevesh Min Aguf. We have to make a separation between our nefesh and our guf. We have to realize what's most important. When Klal Yisrael make the mistake and they have too much of a connection to their guf, and that's all that's important, that's what the cause of averus. That's what the cause of sinas chinam is, because you worry, this is my money, this is mine. Why does he have something else? It says in the Hamigov in the Psich in Bereshis. He says over here that why was the Nachas Baruch Hu Bechur B'Bay Yishenu? Why was the Bechur B'Bay Yishenu? B'Yishenu? Or Pirashim Shei Yisadikim Chasidim V'Amolei Torah. They were tremendous Sadikim Chasidim and Amolei B'Torah. Achla Hayisharim B'Alichas Elavim. Akar Mesinas Chinam Shevelimam Zeh Choshdu as Misha Roh Shonoi Shloi Kedaitam V'Yiris Hashem Shu Stukei V'Apikaris. Anyone, this is not even in Gashmias. They saw, they were big Sadikim, and they saw someone else that was doing something and said, oh, he's not taking on that chumrah, ah, he's at stake. Oh, he's not bikuris. They didn't have a good eye for the other person. They looked at themselves. Oh, I'm a machmir, I'm important. But they didn't look at themselves as achdus, as part of one person. I'm great. He's not, and that was the problem. It says that the Maral Diskin says by the eagle. He says, what happened by the eagle? What was the time of the eagle? He says, unbelievable. He says is that when they started making the eagle, each person in Klal Yisrael thought, the reason why I'm not going to get up and say anything is because I'm the only one that doesn't want the ego. Everyone else, I mean, the choshev b'kshayim. Everyone else in Klai Yisrael is maskim. I'm not going to be the one to get up and go up against whole Klai Yisrael. So therefore, everyone was quiet. If everyone would have gotten up and says, "No, I have to do the right thing. I'm not choshev b'kshayim. Everyone else is good. Everyone else does the right thing," then it never would have been an ego, and then the whole achat ego would have happened. Klai Yisrael taka would have been zeicha to go straight into Yerushalayim. So we learn over here that the 40, we have to take the 40 days, the Torah in its entirety, its impurity. We have to make a separation between the guf and the neshama, between what we think is important and what's not important, and realize what's really important. And if we do this properly, we should be zeicha, that we should see that we should, the korban should be nullified by having the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash. May be amen. Amen. Next week, Monday night, unless we're zeicha to have the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash, it's going to be eicha, it's not going to be shir. Monday night, we're going to continue on the sugya. The issue here tomorrow night at 10 o'clock, Chumash should not be the same things I said tonight.